to Matthew chapter 6. We will begin there. I know I have got to finish the map, okay? I know that, and Judy keeps telling me, Delbert, finish the map, finish the map. And I will, not hiding anything. Actually, the rest of it is so good, it's so braggadocious, it's difficult to talk about those things, and I will finish the map, but there's something the Lord wants to say to us today, and I've got to do this. But I will finish those last two questions and answers that were given one day. The Lord is taking us into a time of praying and fasting. I began today. I invited some of you to begin. I was talking with someone this past week who had already begun. And so it's a time that the Lord is dealing with you and with I, and I don't want it to become a thing on your life that it's hard, because it's not. Fasting is very simple. And we make it hard. We make the things of God hard sometimes. How many knows the Bible talks about the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus? And so don't let this thing be hard to you. Don't let it be a condemnation. Let it be a Holy Spirit conviction and a time of fasting and seeking His face. What we want to do is we want to come together every Monday now until we have the revival with Pastor Buren and Dwayne Swilly coming on the 20th of this coming month. It'll be 21 days from today, actually, and that will be the length of time that I will be fasting. I invite you to go with me into this journey, this expedition, if you will. And we want to enjoy His presence. And the Lord wants to do some things to us and for us today and help us to see some things. So we want to get right into it and allow the Holy Ghost to minister to us. I'm not going to try to repeat what we did already last week. We started this last week, and Jesus went into the wilderness led or driven by the what? The Holy Spirit, but He came out with power and anointing. So remember, that's what we want to, that's the focus. We want to go into a fast led by the Spirit, but we want to come out with power and anointing that we didn't have before we went into it. So I want you to open up with me now and allow the Word of God to minister to us. We're going to be looking at all sorts of scriptures today on overhead, so it'll run quicker, and you'll see and learn a whole lot about fasting. What I want to do first is look at Matthew chapter 6 here, draw from it what I think the Lord wants to lay as a foundation for today's time together, and then we're going to look at 20 different fasts. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the Bible gives us a display of numerous fasts, and I'm going to show you about 20 of them today. I want to draw from these fasts to show you the intricacies of fasting, some things that you may or may not know, but some things that we want to incorporate into our fast. And you won't be able to keep up with me. You won't be able to write down everything. So what I want you to do is either, number one, jot down the scriptures and maybe something that is spoken about it, or number two, get the tape. So we've got to move and we've got to keep on going, okay? Got a lot of ground that we want to cover today. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 2 tells us what? It says, does it ask us to say when we pray? I mean, when we give alms or if we give alms? When we give alms. It's not conditional in the mind of Jesus Christ. It's not if you want to. It's when you do it. And He says here, don't do it religiously. Do it the way it's supposed to be done. Then in verse 5, does it say when you pray or if you pray? Are we expected to pray? Are we expected to give? Is praying more important than giving? I've lost some of you. Is praying more important than giving? Is giving more important than praying? And then He tells us very intricately about what to pray for. He tells us how to pray. And that's not a repetitious prayer. And you don't need to recite all your needs, because He already knows your needs before you say them to Him. So He gives us kind of a guide of what we need to pray about. And then He goes down into verse 16. And is that says, when you fast or if you fast? Now, let me say this first. Is fasting less important than praying? Let's everybody say no. Everybody say no. Is giving alms more important than fasting? So all of these things then are equal in their importance in the mind of Jesus Christ. Probably not in our minds, but in His mind, they're all equally important. So I want us to understand this. What Jesus is showing us here is something that I'm going to open up, and I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to open up to you through me right now. It's not a smorgasbord. We don't get to pick if we want to pray or if we want to fast or if we want to give. What are we supposed to do? Eat the whole lamb. Say, we've got to eat the whole lamb. So we've got to eat it all. We've got to do it all. You're expected to fast. You're expected to pray, and you're expected to give. Now, what we're seeing here, if you look at verse 1, you'll see in this chapter, you'll see that these are really the acts of righteousness. You'll see in verse 1 that he says, don't do your righteousness in a Pharisaical way. But he starts telling you here, these are what righteous acts are. And he starts listing these things. And these three things that he lists here as the righteous acts are almsgiving and prayer and fasting. All of these things are working together. And I'm going to show you something in just a second to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Only giving doesn't lay you up treasures in heaven. Now, I know that's what you've basically been taught all your life, is that if I give, then I'm laying up treasures in heaven, because it's always been associated with your giving. Treasures in heaven has always been associated with your giving. I want you to see here, it's not even following giving. And if you'll look with me at verse 16 in Matthew chapter 6. And when for you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen fasting of men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will what? Repay you. Then now notice what he goes into, please. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. What's he talking about here? Is he talking about fasting or praying, or is he talking about almsgiving? No, he's actually talking about all of them. You need to see this. See, he's coming to the conclusion of what righteousness is, of righteous things, how to be a righteous life. And he's coming to the conclusion. And a righteous lifestyle will have in it almsgiving, it will have in it prayer, and it will have in it fasting. Do you see this? And this is how we lay up treasures in heaven. It's not by just giving money. Or it's not by just praying. Or neither is it only by fasting. It's by all of these things combined. And when we combine all of these things into our life, now we are laying up treasures in heaven. How many sees that we really do need to fast some then? Raise your hand if you're starting to see that you really do need to fast some. Okay. You see, this is one thing that the church has been negligent about teaching. We know some people do it. It's those super spiritual ones. You know, it's those ones that are the fanatics. Now, they're the ones that do the fasting. It's really not for me, because I don't like it. And I get sick when I do it. And, I get this awful headache. It's not for me. Yes, it is for you. If you're called of Jesus Christ, He's going to give you the power to fast. Well, I'm sick. Well, get well, because fasting will heal your body. I'm telling you, there are things about fasting we have got to learn, and I'm hoping God will open up some things to us today about these things. I want you to see that we're laying up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, you always hear that quoted concerning money. But he's not even in... If he's in the context of anything, he's in the context of fasting. He left money back there in verse 2. So So what I really want you to see is it's not money, it's not prayer, and it's not fasting only. It's all of those combined in an individual's life that lays up for them treasures in heaven. Are you seeing that? So what we need to do to have this righteousness that Jesus is talking about there, that's not Pharisaical, but is righteousness of Him through Christ Jesus, is we need to work these things into our lives. And He wants us to. So we lay up these things. We lay up these things in heaven. Do not lay up for them on earth, but lay them up in heaven. Verse 22. Then the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now what's he talking about here? How does that tie in with it? Well, the way you'll stay focused, the way you'll make sure that things are singular, the way you'll make sure that your priorities are in order is by you can look at your giving, and you can look at your prayer life, and you can look at your fasted life, and you can see if you're singular or if you're plural, and you're going to see in the next verse who your God is. Oh, my. Is your God your belly, which is fasting? Is your God prayer? Time. Is your God your money? Giving. How does it line up? How is my focus? Am I single vision? Is my seeing clear? Can I see clearly how to see what God wants me to do, the will of God for my life? If it is, then I can look at my prayer life, I can look at my giving, and I can look at my fasting life. And if it's not, then what I have to do is I have to pray, I have to give, and I have to fast. Now, about once a year or so, the Lord calls me on a fast. I believe He leads me by the Spirit into the time of fasting. And I believe this is one way He keeps me focused. He keeps me zealous. He keeps me on fire for God. He keeps me wanting to do His will. He continuously shows me things through my life. I stay open to Him. I don't rent my clothes. I rent my heart. And I allow Him to come in at one time a year in a mighty way. And I get before the Ark of the Covenant and I let Him speak to me. And I stay focused, Jonathan. Stay focused. I stay where I need to be. And then in the last verse here, verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now what is mammon? Mammon is your time. Mammon is your money. And mammon is your belly, the foods, the things that you eat upon. Now, who's got the priority? And this is what the Lord is wanting to bring our body into and to see today. He wants us, in this next several weeks, these next 21 days, He wants to show us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to work His righteousness into our lives. Now, just ask yourself, what master do you serve? It's hard for you to spend time praying, then time is your master. If it's hard for you to fast, then your belly is your master. If it's hard for you to give alms and give to the things of God, and alms isn't just only given to the poor, it's given to the things of the kingdom of God, then your money is your master. You can't serve God and mammon. One of those is going to rule. And so the way you find it, the way you find out what your focus is on, the way you find out if your vision's clear, is by prayer and giving and fasting. Is that clear? What master do you serve? Romans 16 and 18 talks about people who do not serve the Lord but their own belly. And in Philippians 3:19 talks about people whose God is their belly. So, that's kind of the foundation that I felt to lay for what I want to get into right now. Now, what I'm going to show you now is about 20 fasts that is in Scripture. I don't know if you knew there was that many there or not. I don't think I knew there was that. What I'm about to show you, I've never seen quite in this projection before. I've never seen it projected the way I want to project it to you. I've never had looked to see how many fasts there were. There's more than I have here. For example, I don't have the two fasts that Moses went on because the word fast wasn't associated with it. He got up and got in the presence of God and just stayed there and didn't want to eat nothing. He just wanted to stay there. If you've ever been in the Lord's presence, you know what that's like. You just want to stay there. You don't want nobody to talk to you, bother you, nothing. We were in an elders meeting not too long ago, just a few weeks ago. And the presence of the Lord came in that place, and I knew there were things that we needed to talk about, and I just wanted to stay there, and so finally I said, Lord, you know, we really want to stay right here. And one of the other elders says, well, let's don't hurry, let's just let him do what he wants to do, because we were all sensing it and feeling it. And we didn't care anything about anything else. We just wanted to experience that presence of him. And so what we want to see this is the fast that the Bible does clearly talks about is fasting. And so what I'm going to show you in rapid fire are the fast in the Scriptures. Then I have another column of the purpose of the fast as I saw it and could summarize it in a short detail. And then some special aspects about the fast. The first fast that we really see in the Scriptures that is a proclaimed fast, where they say we're going to fast, we find it in the book of Judges chapter 20, verse 26. Now what's happening here is the nation of Israel is at war with another tribe that is in that nation, Benjamin. And they're fighting each other. Now listen to me. What Israel did, and you can read the whole story, but what happened is there was a bunch of, in one of the Benjamin cities, there was this guy passing through, and they were homosexuals, and they wanted to molest him, but he sent out his concubine, and they molested her all night long, and then he took her, and he chopped her up into 12 pieces. They killed her, and he chopped her up into 12 pieces, and they sent it to all the nations, all the tribes. Well, they got all fired up about that, wanted to know what was happening, so Israel went to war with Benjamin, because the city was of Benjamin, and they were kind of protecting the city. Now, they went to God twice and they said, God, should we go to Israel? Went to God twice and said, God, should we go to war with Benjamin? And God said, yes, go to war. Well, they went up the first time, Randy, and they got kicked. Now, God told them to go to war. So they went to war and they got beat. So they come back, they're crying, they're weeping. They said, hey, God, something's wrong here. What should we do? Should we go to war? The Lord says, yeah, go to war. So they go up again. And they get kicked again. And now they're wondering what's wrong. They come back crying, weeping, sackcloth, ashes, rent, and all this stuff. Say, hey, God. They get before the ark this time. They fast this time. And the Lord says, this time, I'll give them to you tomorrow. They go up tomorrow and they whip them. Now, what's happened here, the difference is number one, you got to understand, the first time there was no fasting, there really wasn't that much seeking of God. But how many knows there's things in your life and in my life that you really felt like the Lord wants you to do and has told you even to do, but you got kicked doing it? Do you understand this? Could it possibly be because we're not fasting? Maybe we need to fast a little more and get before the ark of the Lord a little bit more. And maybe He'll say, hey, take it now. And some special aspects, this was a multi-person fast. And you'll see as I conclude this thing, there are more multi-person fastings than there are single people just doing it by yourself, listed in the Scriptures. For wherever two or three are gathered. Oh, my. So there's a power that can come through fasting that you can't get any other way. And there's an aspect of prayer that you can enter in fasting that you can't get any other way. Remember Matthew 17 where the demoniac boy is brought to Jesus and he's coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration. We talked about it last week. And they come and they bring the boy to the disciples and the disciples can't deliver him. And so they bring him to Jesus and Jesus casts the devil out. Later on they ask Jesus, why can't we deliver him? He says, this kind comes only by prayer. Now, if you're in Matthew, it talks about fasting, and I'm well aware that the most ancient manuscripts, according to Matthew, do not include fasting. But when you go to Mark, and you're Mark 9, and this is all theological jumbo, you get to Mark chapter 9, you find out that the most ancient manuscripts do have fasting in it. But the word there for prayer is always the word that is used for prayer and fasting. Okay? And this kind of a prayer is a prayer that always goes before you. How many know sometimes you get to a place and you should have already prayed? You should have already fasted. And what's happened is too late now to deal with this demon because you should have done prayed and fasted before you got there. I'm going to show you something in just a second. Well, a few seconds. I believe that one of the reasons, and you'll see it when I get to it, one of the reasons that we now have the president that we have is because we waited, Turk, until he was nominated before we started praying and fasting. Hello? How many knows we should have had something going on before us. I'll show you in just a little while when Saul was killed. What the people started doing was praying and fasting. Now, if something was to happen to Clinton, some of us would rejoice, right? Well, that's what the Philistines did. That's what the flesh will do. What we need to start doing is fasting, because we've got another leader coming. Okay. Kind of see where we're, what I'm looking at, what I'm trying to grasp here in all of this. Second fast that I see is in 1 Samuel 7, 6. And the Philistines and Israelite were divine antagonists. The Philistines were Israel's divine antagonists, and they always were fighting with each other. Now, what happens here is Samuel decrees a fast, and they finally got a breakthrough through the fast. All the years of fighting and warfare that they went through, nothing would ever get this breakthrough. Finally, they fasted, and finally they got a breakthrough, and finally they drove the Philistines out until Saul got to be king. You get a fleshy king, you get all that stuff back in, right? But before Saul came, the Philistines were pretty much defeated and driven out of the land. How many of you got things that when Jesus come in, he wanted to drive out of your life, but the Philistines are still there? You didn't help him drive them out. Huh? How many things we need to fast on? Drive those Philistines out of our own lives. And some of the unique things I saw here, again, this was a multi-personal fast. It was a one-day fast. They prayed. A unique thing that happened here is that Samuel made a water offering, and this is one of the few times I'm aware of this. But he took water and he poured out water before the Lord. Now, what is the water in the Scriptures? The Word and the Spirit. All right, the Word. In Ephesians 5:23, it talks about that he wants to present a bride unto himself washed by the water of the Word. So we need, when we're fasting, to wash ourselves with the Word of God. I'll talk to you in just a second. You need to receive the Word. You need to spend time in the Word when you're fasting. You need to allow the Word of God to cleanse your mind and cleanse your thoughts and keep you clean. And then the second one is in John chapter 7, and it says that Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he spake of the Spirit which had not yet come. Now what we understand here is this Spirit thing that we've got to understand. When we're in a fast, we need to allow the Spirit to wash us. We need to receive the Spirit poured upon us. We need to allow the Spirit to come out of us. We want to prophesy. We want to proclaim the Word of the Lord. We want to take the prophecies given over us and war with them. We want the Spirit of God to function through us. Wonderful time to get healed. Wonderful time to prophesy. Wonderful time to see the gifts of the Spirit manifest through your life when you're seeking the Lord. In fact, it's a wonderful time that you want to. So those are some unique things. And a sacrifice. Now, all of these... just about every one of these, I began to see this, had a sacrifice that was hooked to it. They would bring a bull or a lamb, and they would sacrifice it to God as they went into their fast. Now, what I did, and what I just explained to Judy before the offering and the alms was passed around, is that I felt like that what she and I should do, like for example, what I would do is I would go out and spend $100 on a bull or $100 on a lamb or something, and I'd bring it in and I'd sacrifice it to God. Okay, that was what I would do. Well, how many knows that we don't do that in the New Testament? We don't. It's not by the blood of the bulls and goats or the sprinkling of the ashes of a heifer anymore, but it's by the what? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we're entering in by. But he still wants the alms given, right? Matthew 6, right? So what I want to do is I want to sacrifice as I enter into this fast. So she and I both, I asked her, I said, what do you feel? I explained it to her, I said, what do you feel? She said something that was ridiculous. I said, Judy, that's not a sacrifice. We don't have that to give. So we got into a figure here, and I made my sacrifice specifically for me, wrote on it for the fast, and wrote her name, wrote it on there for the fast, and so we have sacrificed now for our fast. Okay? Makes sense to you? Makes sense to me? So what I want to encourage you here, because oftentimes you'll see when you're studying the fast, you'll find they brought a sacrifice. Make it a sacrifice. Don't tip God with a quarter. You know, give him... it's got to be sacrifice. Okay. So I began to see this when they offered. Then the third fast I found is in 1 Samuel 31:13. They took, this is where Saul was killed. They were fighting with the Philistines now. The Philistines had gotten back into the nation of Israel. If you have unrighteousness leading you, then the Philistines are going to get back into your life. There's going to be Goliath and all those things, and we could spiritualize and do all that kinds of stuff. But what's happened is the Philistines have come back into the nation of Israel now, and Saul falls on his sword and kills himself. Okay? Now what happens is that some of the valiant men come. What they do is they cut his head off, and his three sons' heads off, Jonathan and Jonathan's brothers, and they hang them on the wall. And they leave them there. They become a laughing stock of the Philistines. And so some of the valiant men do is they come and they take these Saul's body and his son's bodies and they bury them and give them a respectable burial. So what I saw here is there was a multiple person fast and there was a 7-day fast. And like I just already have shared with you, what I've already shared with you is that an important thing here when in our presidency and the leaders that we have, the flesh within us, if something were to happen to our current president, who most of us don't agree with, but God put him there. How many knows that? Okay? We understand some things that the world doesn't understand, but a part of us would rejoice. A part of us would be like the Philistines, and we would be a laughing stock. But what we really need to do is fast. I don't want to wait until he's either ejected from office or he resigns from office. I want to go ahead and fast now. Okay? Let's do this prayer that goes before us. That's the prayer that's in Matthew 17, that this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer, or prayer and fasting. And anyway, it's the kind that goes before you. It's the prayer that goes on or before you get there. It's already there. So that's the thought there. Okay. Then fourth fast, 2 Samuel 12:16. David and Bathsheba had gotten illegitimately involved. And you know the story. Bathsheba had conceived, bore a child. Nathan comes to David and says, "You are the man." And he says, "God's going to take the child." I know that doesn't sound like the God we serve, but it's the same God. He changeth not. But I don't want to get into all of that stuff. Just understand that God's God. And he comes to David and he says, "This is, I'm going to judge it. I'm going to take this kid." Well, what David does is he falls and he fasts. Even though Nathan the prophet, the word of the Lord has come and says, "I'm going to take the kid," David still falls on his face and fasts. It was a 7-day fast. He fell on his face 7 days and he fasted and he prayed. And the thing that stood out to me in this particular passage is they come to David and they said, "Why did you do it? Why did you fast and be like that when the child was alive, but when the child's dead, now you're getting up, you're washing, you're anointing your head, you're taking a bath, now you're coming and eating." And David says this, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and that the child may live?" How many knows that there are sometimes things in our life that we know God has said, but we want to change them, and sometimes He will change them. And I'll show you later on, He will. But this intrigued me, that there are times that we know that God is getting us, but if you'll fast and if you'll seek His face, God can change it. God will back off a little bit. And I'll show you an Ahab in just a second. Wicked Ahab, and I don't want to get ahead of myself and waste time, but wicked Ahab did the same thing. Well, Ahab had a word from Elijah the prophet, says, "I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your sons." Ahab fell on his face and fasted, and God said, "I'm going to wait for a while now." So there is a power in fasting that comes no other way, that comes absolutely no other way. And that's what we talked about last week, was the power that Jesus come out with, right? There is a prayer life. There is a lifestyle that can ascend into a power area in the realm of the Spirit that nothing else can match. David led a life of fasting. He writes about it in the Psalms. I have these here for you, Psalms 35:13. He says, "I humbled my soul with fasting." Psalm 69:10, he says, "I wept, I chastened my soul with fasting." In Psalms 109:24, he says, "I made myself weak through fasting." David led a very, very fasted lifestyle. He was a righteous man. He gave a lot of alms. He prayed a lot. And he fasted a lot. He had this righteousness that Jesus is speaking about to us in Matthew chapter 6. This was the lifestyle of David, a man after God's own heart. And so what he did is he done this, and he says, I afflicted my soul. I brought my soul. Now, what is your soul? Your mind? Your will? Emotions? Your intellect? That's your soul realm. You afflict your soul. How many knows that in you dwells the flesh, and in you dwells the spirit, and they are fighting each other all the time? And I don't care how long you live. I don't care how far you exceed in maturity in Jesus Christ. You will always have that war going on inside of you. You can't cast it out. It's going to be there. Point in case, or case in point. Case in point, right? Case in point, did Jesus ever overcome his flesh? What happened to him in Gethsemane? Nevertheless, not my... See, it's always going to be there. And what David says is, I made it submit to my spirit. I made my soul, my mind, my emotions, my intellect, my will submit to the will of God. I chastened it. I brought it into subjection. He talks about that in the Psalms. The fifth fast I see is in 1 Kings 21:9. This is a Jezebel fast. Jezebel wanted Naboth's vineyard for her husband Ahab. Ahab's laying over there crying. She says, I'll get it for you, baby. And she does. She says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to seem spiritual. We're going to decree this fast. We're going to get all the people to fasting. And then we're going to bring old Naboth in, and we're going to lie about him, and we're going to stone him, and we're going to get you this vineyard. Hey, it happened. Now, the dogs ate her, and they licked Ahab's blood. But this Jezebel fast, how many knows that sometimes you think you can enter into a place where you appear spiritual, and it's a manipulation? You want to manipulate God? You want to manipulate people? Hey, Jezebel is the queen of manipulation. And so you enter into it with this kind of a look. I want to appear spiritual. Listen, don't do that. You make sure that the Spirit of the Lord, not that I'm telling you that we need to fast, you entreat the Lord and you ask Him if you need to fast. I'm just teaching about it. I'm emphasizing it right now. Sometimes I emphasize praying. Sometimes I emphasize giving. Right now I'm emphasizing fasting. So right now it's going to appear that I'm really putting the pressure on you to do this. I'm not. I'm just emphasizing it because this is what I'm teaching. If I was teaching tithing, you would feel like I was emphasizing that you tithe. I'm not. Okay? That's something that you got to do without compulsion, because it won't do a bit of good unless you do it without compulsion. All right. The sixth fast. 1 Kings 21:27. This is where Ahab now is walking in the vineyard Naboth's vineyard that Jezebel had gotten for him. And he's in there walking around, and out jumps Elijah. Out jumps Elijah and says, are you my enemy? That's what Ahab said to Elijah. And Elijah says, yes, I am. Yes, I am. How many knows that it's okay if we have enemies in the kingdom of God? Unrighteousness is our enemy. Okay? So he says, okay, now let's... he says, here's what God says to you. He says he's going to kill you. He's not only going to kill you, but he's going to wipe your name out. You won't even have a generation. You won't have no descendants, Ahab. God's going to do it. And he disappears. What Ahab does is he falls on his face and he begins to fast before God with sackcloth. Now, when you read this thing about sackcloth, usually you'll read a king in there, because the king had the expensive garments, and he walked around like the king. But when they put this sackcloth on, they were humbling themselves and openly professing that Jesus Christ, well, that Jehovah God was their king, that they were in submission to that king. Okay? So this is when you read sackcloth, what it is an open display that I am submitting myself to a God that's greater than I, to a person, to a being greater than I am. And so he fasted, Ahab did, and then... And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself? And I'll read it to you in just a second. But there was a tearing of the clothes, the wearing of sackcloth, and the humbling. And I think I just touched all that. And he says, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring this evil in his day. I'll put it off a little while. But his son's days will I bring this evil upon his house. And he did. He did. I won't say what the Bible, but anyway, he did. The seventh fast that I see. Well, let me go back to my point that I need to bring out again on that one. is that there are times when you know God is dealing with you and that you've done wrong, and what you need to do is fast. Because God will put off the judgment. Now, the seventh fast. 2 Chronicles 20:3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, what this is you know the story of Jehoshaphat and what happened in this particular time. But there was this great multitude that came to war against Jehoshaphat and Judah. And so what he did is he decreed a fast. This was another one of those multi-person and nation fast. And he began to decree a fast. And what they did is they fasted before the Lord. And the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came through a prophet. It says, the battle's not yours, it is the Lord's. How many want to hear that? Well, if we could get that one, it would be good, wouldn't it? It's not your battle, Kevin, it's the Lord's. Amen? And that's what we need to understand. And those kinds of words come through a time of fasting. The prophet's fasting, Jehoshaphat's fasting, the nation's fasting, people are fasting, they're fasting together. The Lord brings forth the word of God. And there they start rejoicing and start praising. And the Bible says here that they praise with a loud voice. They worshiped. They fell on their face. Lance, what I want to do during these Mondays that we're going to start praying and during this time of fasting, even if you don't fast, come pray with us. But what we're going to start doing is, Lance, I want some loud praise. Okay? I want some worship. I want us falling on our face before Him. I want to come in here and really do what we're learning to do. Put it into activation. Understand that God's calling us and that the battle is His, it's not ours, and that we need to enter into this thing with some loud praise. Okay? Can we get louder than we've gotten already? I think we can. Listen, this is this kind of a church. This is what we are. If you don't like loud music and praise, then this is the wrong church. Find one that really suits your ways. This church is geared at after people that are after the things of God and want to fast and seek God with loud praise and worship and finding God. We're really after that. We're in tune to that. That's a passion that I have. It's a passion I have to praise God. You can watch me and tell. I love to praise God. It's a passion in my heart. I want you to praise God. And I love to praise Him. And boy, when I see you hooked up with fasting and the power that comes through there, knowing already that we're in spiritual warfare just by praising, when we hook up with that fasting, my goodness alive. The battle is the Lord's, Michelle. Amen? Loud praise and worship and rejoicing. And they went out. And who'd they send first? Who'd they send first? Who'd they always send first? Judah. And what does Judah mean? It means more than praise. It means motioning with your hands. It means celebration. It means getting excited about God. So that's who goes first. I'm a Judah. I'm beautiful, ain't I, Jonathan? Aren't I, Jonathan? I am, aren't I? I am. To God, I am. The eighth fast, Ezra 8:21. Ezra proclaimed a fast. Now, here's something that's so good. Boy, get this one. Ezra, they went down and tried to start the temple, and they ran into all these problems. So they come back again, and now Ezra wants to go back and start rebuilding the temple again out of Babylon and go back down to Jerusalem and build a temple. So what he does is he proclaims a fast. Now, what his fast is for is very specific. He wanted the protection on the journey. He wanted safety for the old people and for the little ones. And for all their belongings. See, that was a long way. That was a long journey. And they just knew the nations would come and wipe them out and steal their stuff and kill their kids and kill them. So what he says, I want fastings. He said, I want us to fast for the journey. Hear this. How many of you have got kids that have already worn out a couple legions of angels? Come on. And what we need to do is fast. We need to protect our kids by fasting. We can protect them by fasting. Have you fasted? Do you live a fasted life? I know you pray. I know you give. But are you fasting? See, this happened through fasting. Am I right? So understand the principles here. We've got burglar alarms in our house, and that's fine. I think you need to do that. But you can fast. All your goodies can be protected by angels a lot better than a burglar alarm. You see, there's a principle here that Ezra says in Ezra's church, and I'll show it to you again in Esther in just a second. Esther, same thing. I'll get to it in a minute. That's good. Any special things I need to bring out? Fasteners for safety for them and the children and their substance. Boy, I've got so much to say. Nehemiah had it in his heart. He had a burden to go and rebuild the walls and the gates of Jerusalem. It was in his heart. God put it there. He had such a tremendous burden to do something good in the kingdom of God. He wanted to rebuild the kingdom of God. So he prayed. He confessed the sins, not only his, but of all of his fathers, his forefathers. He confessed the sins of his nation, much like Daniel did. And he entered a time of fasting. Did he build the walls? Did he build back the gates? Yes, he did. He got the word again back into Jerusalem. Listen, there are things that you have wanted to do in the kingdom of God. Mighty exploits for God. Things that you want to do for Him. Let me tell you something, you need to fast. You need to build again the walls that the enemy's torn down and burned up. You need to build again the gates that keeps the enemy out. You need to build them again. You need to get before the Lord with prayer and fasting before the Ark of the Covenant and hear His voice. Esther, here's where I was about to jump into a while ago. Haman, who is a type of the devil, had a plan to destroy all of them. He had a decree to kill and cause to perish all the young, the old, the little children and women. That's all of them. How many believes the devil has a plan to destroy you, your children, and everything about you he wants to destroy? And he's got a plan. So what the nation did is they began to fast. They began to fast. Now this first fast is actually too fast here. This first fast they went into brought forth Esther. They heard the decree. They began to fast. Now Esther comes forth. And now Esther says, okay, listen, maybe I'm born into the kingdom for such a time as this. Let me fast too. And not just me, but my women. And you all fast for me. Let's go into this 3-day fast of nothing but water. And let's see will God deliver us. And if I perish, I perish. What happened? What happened to Naaman? He hung on his own gallows. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Now listen to me. The thing that he has devised against you, we can fast and turn it right back on him and hang him from his own gallows. Amen? Amen. Yes, we can. Yeah, let's clap. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Get excited with me. Listen, it's working. There's something here. There's 20-something fast in the Scriptures. And they're all good. So that's what happened. It was a 3-day, 9-day fast of food and drink. The fast included weeping, sackcloth, and ashes. An interesting, what we'll see in just a second, is when you put the sackcloth and ashes on animals. It's really, really interesting. 11th fast, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was instructed on the day of fast. Now these religious Pharisees have always had like a day of fast. They had a day of fast that they would have a fast in the Lord's house. And they would go in on fasting day. And Jeremiah was instructed on this day of fast to go and have the word of the Lord read there. He wanted the word of the Lord read that he had given to them. And what it would do is proclaim what the problems were and the reasons that God was going to bring judgment on them. Thank you, Jim. And all the ladies said, thank you, Jim. So, I get bouncing around. I kind of forget about it sometimes. But anyway. So he says, okay. He says, Lord told Jeremiah, says, go take the word of the Lord, have it read into the house of the Lord. And he says, maybe they'll change, maybe they'll repent, maybe they'll see I'm about to bring judgment, and maybe they'll change. How many really believe that God's about to bring judgment on America? I'm telling you. And what he did, so he got this done. The guy went and he read it in the house of the Lord, and then he took it to the king, and the king took it with a knife and chopped it up and threw it in the fire. They did not receive the word of the Lord. Less than 10 years later, they're now in bondage to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar comes down, kills them all, takes what he wants. It's over. Listen, while you're in the fast, receive the word of God. Receive, open your spirit. Open your spirit. Listen, this is what happens to us oftentimes. When preaching comes, you get an ought against me or something happens to me and your spirit closes up. You get mad at me or you get mad at something or somebody, your husband, your wife, your kid or somebody, and your spirit will close up and the Spirit of God can't come in. And there's this guy who's pumping out spirit, but your spirit is closed up. Don't do this. Receive the Word of the Lord. Let it get into your heart and into your spirit because the enemy wants to put you in some form of bondage. Just as much as the nation will be judged, so will you and I be judged if we close up, we chop the Word of God up with a knife and throw it in the fire. Receive the Word of God. Receive it. Now, so that's what happened. And he chopped it up, and then, like I said, within 10 years, they were in bondage. In Babylon. Daniel, fast 12. All right, this is the 12th fast. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are been taken now out of this, out of what we've just talked about. This after when they fell, Nebuchadnezzar took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up with them, and now he's wanting to defile them. Daniel says, we want a purpose in our hearts not to be defiled. And he says, well, we're going to fast wine and meat. And all we're going to eat is pulse. And then he says, you come back and you look at us, and I think this is a 10-day, yes, 10-day fast. He says, you come back and look at us after 10 days, and you see if we don't look better than all those worldly people do. So he said, okay, the eunuch did that. The eunuch took it, got him, all he ate was pulse, and what pulse means is something sown, a vegetable kind of a fast, fruits, vegetables, that kind of stuff. No meat, no wine. And he gave that to them, and they went, and they came back, and they did look better. And not only did they look better, but look at this. Verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. What did he give to them? God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. How many of you think your kids ought to fast? Listen, these are just teenagers. These aren't men. He took these because there was a potential in these guys to do well in Babylon. And they're just young men. Eunuchs out of them. But he took them. And he took them into his system. He said, we don't want to be defiled by your system. We're going to stay close to our God. How many knows the school system, humanism system wants to defile your children? And you can fast, and it's going to help them and protect them. But what you really need to do is train your children to fast. Come on now. If your kids want to get involved with this fast that we're about to head into, hey, bring them in. Let them come and fast with you. Teach them to fast. My kids saw me fasting all my born-again life. They've watched me fast. It's nothing to see Daddy fast. It's nothing for them now to fast. They know I fasted life. So what I'm trying to say to you is teach your kids to fast because it'll keep them from being defiled by the system. It'll keep them being defiled by Nebuchadnezzar, by Babylon. And not only that, well, he'll give them all wisdom, all skills in learning, all understanding. They'll start interpreting dreams and visions. You want that for your kids? Teach them to fast. Is that good stuff? 13. Daniel 6:18. King Darius fasted for Daniel in the lion's den. Did you know that? You know the story about Daniel being cast in the lion's den? I never noticed it until I was studying this. Okay, the King Darius and all these guys didn't want Daniel to pray. You know the story. He opens up his windows and he prays, and they say, well, he's praying. So they cast him in the lion's den. You understand that the story. Well, Daniel's down there with the lion's den. But while Daniel's down there with the lion's den, this Gentile, King Darius, is fasting for Daniel. Fasting to the God of Daniel, for Daniel. Now, have you ever thought that maybe this was why the lion didn't eat him? I never thought about it before. I just thought that Daniel was one of God's favorite kids, you know? But as I look at it, here's Darius up here fasting to the God of Daniel. And he spends all night fasting. Now, of course, fasting is always inclusive of food. He's not eating. Neither is he having entertainment. Now, Steve, this is a king. He can have anything he wants. He refrains from it this night, and he doesn't sleep. He fasts sleep, he fasts. Now listen, fasting always includes food. That's what the word means, okay? You never find in the scriptures where somebody fasted television. It's not there. But there is a fast of entertainment. But it's incorporated with food. Now if you want to fast your television, fine, but fast food too. Not go to McDonald's for fast food. Okay? Incorporate it with food. It's always because it's bringing your belly under subjection. It's bringing your flesh down to where it needs to be. Listen, I'm going to finish this, and if any of you all need to go, I absolutely understand. I've got a lot I want to say here because we're starting this thing, and I want to give you something to get started with. So if you need to go, that's fine. I'll be probably about 10, 15 more minutes. Just do it when I'm not looking, and I won't think you're mad at me. King Darius fasted. Okay. Fast 14. All right. Daniel was reading in the scriptures, and he read about Jeremiah. And he read in Jeremiah's writings, he says, okay, I read there where it says 70 years. Now, what does this mean? I need some understanding here. So Daniel begins him a fast. He starts fasting. And again, every time Daniel would fast, it would be he'd fast wine and meat. He'd eat pulse. So he was fasting this. Now, anybody can do this. This isn't hard. Am I right? So he's fasting this, and he's concerning. It's concerning these things, and he wants to get some understanding. Well, he's fasting, and he's laying on his face, praising and worshiping God, and tap, tap, tap on his shoulder. And he looks up, and here's Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. And he gives him an understanding. And so a lot of times, and I've never had it as much as I've fasted. I've even asked the Lord, send Gabriel to talk to me a little bit. I sure would like that, you know. Boy, that'd make me feel real spiritual. And that's why he hasn't done it. But you see, you got to humble yourself. But I really would love an angelic visitation. But don't be surprised if something like that were to happen to you. He was in prayer, sackcloth, supplications, sackcloth and ashes. He was humbling himself. I mean, really, you got to realize again that this sackcloth thing, Daniel is a mighty man. He had fine, fine clothes. He could strut. Nice clothes. And so he put this sackcloth on so that everybody would know that there's somebody that he submitted to, and his name was God. Had an angelic visitation. So there's that. Now, later on in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel says, hey, you know, I really don't understand all that Gabriel told me. This is actually too fast again here. He says, I really don't understand all this, so I'm going to do it again. I'm going to fast some more. So he goes into a 21-day fast, and again, eating pulse, and he goes into this fast, and again, Gabriel comes and gives him more understanding. And he came because of his words. His words while he was in a fast. Now, I've always preached to you that the way we activate angels is by our words, right? But actually, you got to incorporate that into something that's bigger because Daniel was in a fast. Okay? It was the words while he was in a fast that the angels were activated. That's good. That's good. Say, that's good. It is good. Moving. Fast as I can go. Fast 15. Jonah. You know Nineveh and Jonah. Of course, the whale's belly and all the stuff that he went through, or the fish's belly. It's better. But anyway, he was told to go to Nineveh, and you know he rebelled. He wouldn't go, the fish belly, all that stuff. Finally, he gets there, and he walks through the city, and he says, repent, repent. And the people did. The people repented. This wicked city Nineveh repented. And they fasted. God was going to judge it. He says, you tell them I'm going to judge them. So what Jonah does, of course, is get up on the hill with a little bush and watch and waits for the judgment of God to come. Well, the people fasted. What changed God's judgment? People fasting. And not only did they fast, they had the animals to fast. They didn't feed none of their animals. And not only that, but they put sackcloth on the animals. Read the story and see. They were submitting to the God that Jonah come and talk to tell us about. They didn't know him. They just fasted. Listen, there is a power in a fast that we have not yet tapped into. Fast 16. Did Jesus fast? Did Jesus fast? Yes, he did. The Lord Jesus was led or driven by the Spirit, Mark says, into the wilderness. And he came out in power. This was a food fast. It never does say that it was without food or water. It was food. It was a food fast, basically. And the very first temptation that Satan comes to Jesus with is concerning food. Make these stones. If you're who you say you are, make these stones. You know, when you go on a fast, the first thing he's going to come to you with? Oh, my belly is hurting. I want to eat something. Hey, you don't need to do this. You're a child of God. You don't need to do this. Just, hey, eat something. So, but see, if he can break that fast, then he's going to take away your power. Because he went in with the Spirit, but he came out with the power. Stay in there. Stay in there. Because he's going to come, and he's going to try to get you out of it. Luke 2:37. All the Gospels teach of fasting. In Luke 2:37, Anna the prophetess, she fasted, and she was in the temple. And she got to minister to Jesus Christ. How many of you want to really minister to Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just really minister to Him. She got to minister to this babe, Jesus. I want to minister to the King, Jesus. I want to fast. I want to stay in the temple. I am the temple. You are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's stay in this place. Let's stay in this fast. We get to minister to Him. Fast 18, Acts 10:30. This is Cornelius. Now, you need to read the whole story. Because Cornelius is a perfect example of Matthew 6. If I was only going to preach Matthew 6, I would use Cornelius as the example of that particular thing. Because Cornelius did all those things. He gave alms, he prayed, and he fasted. And God sent an angel and brought him the Holy Ghost and filled him up, not only him, but his whole household. Gave him a vision, the whole spectrum. The whole spectrum. Cornelius, he fasted, and there it is. Gave many alms and prayer. So again, you see that whole thought of Matthew 6. Fast 19. The church at Antioch wanted to send out some missionaries. Very spiritual church, interracial church. They were really working together and fasting and prayer and seeking God. And they went on a fast. Went on a fast. This is two fasts again in this fast. They went on a fast, first of all, to see who they should send out. And the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, send out Barnabas and Saul. You do know your scriptures that well. He said, send out to me Barnabas and Saul. So that was the first fast. Then they fasted again and sent them out. You see, again, here's this thought that I'm trying to project to you. This is something you do before you get there. They didn't want till Paul ran out there and met these demons to start fasting for him. They fasted for him and sent him out. Listen, don't wait until a vomiting demon walks up here to face me, to fast for me and pray for me. Pray for me and fast for me before he walks up here. Okay? And what we've got to learn to do is when we send out these people, we've got to spend some time praying and fasting because they're going to meet demons. I met one in Trinidad. And they're not fun, I'm telling you. So what we've got to learn to do is this thought. So anyway, there's that fasted. They fasted for a word from the Lord concerning who the ministry was, and then they fasted again to send them out. Fast number 20. In Acts 14:23, Paul fasted concerning elders in the church, and then he fasted again, commending them to the Lord. It's the same thing that he learned there at Antioch. There was this fast that they did to find out who they were, and then there was the fast that they did to send them out. Now, just real quickly, just going through this quickly, Isaiah talks about fasting. He said, here's the fast that I want. You can look that up. And he says, your fasts are not what I want. I just don't like you because all you do is what you want. You fast for what you want. He says, I want you to fast for what I want. You fast unto me. You get to me. You come to me and fast and get into my presence. He says in Isaiah 58:6, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that break every yoke. And then he goes on, he says, to give bread to the hungry, to take care of the poor, to clothe the naked, and do those kinds of things. He says, this is really what you be fasting for these things. When you fast, do it for these things. And then he says in 58:8, and I want you to hear this. want you to hear this now, because many of you need healing in your body. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. How many of you would like some health to spring forth in your being speedily? You don't want to wait. We need health speedily. He says if you'll do the fast and you'll do it correctly, then you'll get health and it'll spring forth in your being speedily. The Lord of glory shall be thy reward. Health is there. And Jeremiah talks about it, and he talks about a fast that they fast, but they never change. They keep walking in the same old way. They never restrain their feet. He says, when you fast, change. And Joel talks about fasting. And what Joel sees is a locust, swarm of locusts come, and the locust is devouring. And he relates this to a mighty army that comes against Israel and Jerusalem. And he says, sound the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm from my holy mountain, all that stuff. And he says, sanctify ye fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land. But here's what I want to see here. In verse 2, chapter 2, 13 of Joel, he says, rend your heart and not your garments. You remember in the scriptures where they always was tearing their clothes? Well, what does God want you to tear? Your heart. You see, some of us are so hard-hearted. Some of us are so set in our doctrines and our ways and our own ambitions and our own walk and the way we perceive things and want things. What he says is, what I want you to rend and what I want you to tear open is your heart. Give me a heart that I can get into. Give me a heart that's opened up, that's torn open for me, that I can come in there. In other words, this is this, the open spirit and the closed spirit. Open up your spirit. Let me get in there and do something. This is what Joel says. Rend your heart and not your garments. Zechariah talks about it. Matthew, of course, talks about it. All the Gospels talk about it. Just running through it. And if any of you want these copies of this stuff, that's fine, okay? Just come up and go after it. Mark, Luke, all of them talk about fasting. The epistles teach about fasting. Let me touch this one. Okay. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that her body is mine and my body is hers, except when we're fasting. Okay? Any other time, she's mine, I'm hers, except when we're fasting. He says, then fast for a little while and then come back together. What I'm trying to show you here is if you're fasting, refrain. Why? It's hard to pray and have sex at the same time. It is for me. Now, maybe it's not for you, but I can't hardly do that. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to communicate this in a way that you'll grab a hold of it. Okay? We want pure thoughts. We want to maintain. And the enemy is going to come. He's going to tempt you in all these things. That's why I'm trying to show you. That's why Paul mentioned it. Paul fasted. He's watchings and fastings and all those shipwrecks and things. And he says, in fastings often, in 2 Corinthians 11:27. So the fastings is all through the scriptures. And then finally, I compiled all this stuff. You can kind of see some things. I ran out of clears overhead, so here we are. There's more multi-person fastings than there is one-person fastings. There's one-day fast, three-day fast, seven-day fast, 10-day fast, 21-day fast, and 40-day fast. There's also fast that there's no time specified. What do I get from that? I don't really think that that's what's important. What I think is that you need to hear the word of the Lord. How long do you need to fast? Maybe later on God will give us some insights into, well, if you fast 10 days, you get this, and one day you get this. But right now all I'm hearing is listen, you know, let the Lord speak to you. There are sacrifice offerings. I've already talked about that. In all these fasts, that means all those ones, it represents a fast. I hope you understood that. I didn't take time to explain it. But all those were specifically that they brought a sacrifice. When you fast, sacrifice something. Make it a sacrifice. Different ones of us, some of us, some money is really not much of a sacrifice. Well, make it enough money that it would be a sacrifice. Make it, you know, get your bullock, get your lamb, do something for somebody, but make a sacrifice somewhere to incorporate it into your fast. It's just a showing that you're sincere here. Prayer was in all of them except Jezebel, so you don't find where they prayed in Jezebel. Okay, everything else was, of course, prayer and fasting. Water poured out, that was unique. Receiving of the word, make sure that you study something. I've already said it, you know, while you're in this fast, maybe study a book of the Bible or study something that the Lord's laid on your heart to study. of the blood of Jesus or the Holy Ghost or tongues or interpretations or some gift that maybe God has spoken to you. But receive that word. Take time and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Tearing of the clothing, of course, that's happened. And that was in, I think, more than one, but I've only got one recorded here where they rent their clothes. But in actuality, the Lord, we saw that He says, I don't want you to tear your clothes. I want you to tear your hearts. Wearing of sackcloth, that's the humbling. There was weeping involved in it. All these things are aspects and parts of fasting that you study. They moved in prophecy. Allow the Holy Spirit to move through you in the gifts of the Spirit. There was worship. There was praise with a very loud voice. Food and water. Now, what I mean here is they probably had food. They always fasted food, but maybe they didn't fast water. And unless it was specified, I didn't count it. But in all those fasts, that's where they were fasted, but it wasn't specified that it was water, so it was probably only food. Food specified, they're very clear that it was food. And then food and water specified. There's only two that I found out where there was food and water told of the Lord, or that they fasted. Of course, Moses did it twice in the Mount. And Jesus has never said that Jesus fasted without water. That's something that we've kind of incurred and believe, and maybe He did, but it doesn't say that. The fasting of meat and wine, Daniel did it. No entertainment, no sleep. Angelic visitations and animals fasted also are all inclusive in there. And so those are just a compilation of all those 20-something fasts that I've just blowed out you. Okay. Now, I don't want to close this. How many of you have prayed and are either just know without praying? You say, I don't have to really pray about should I fast. I know that I should fast. But maybe you've prayed, or maybe you just know that over you're going to do something. You're going to go into some form of a fast over these next several weeks. Now, let me reiterate. On the 20th, we're having this revival. I want to see something happen. I want a breakthrough. That's the primary thing that I'll be asking the Lord for, is to break through. But there's also some other decisions that I've got to make for this house, for this body. I want to see the power of God in my life. I want to see people delivered from demons and oppressions and bondages broken and chains in their lives broken. I want to see them released from the prisons that they're in. Okay? I need that power like Jesus got. We all need these things. So there's other things as well that I'll be incorporating into. But the primary thing that I'm after is I want to see a major thing happened in our body when Dwayne Swilly and Buren Goss come and minister to us. Okay? Now, how many of you will join in with me with that being a primary agreement together, coming in here on Monday nights, and tomorrow night I want to come at 6 because I got to be at the citywide thing at 7 over at Cove Road I'm speaking. So I want to come and pray a little while before I go and then go over there. And then after that, every Monday night, we'll start at 7. We'll have some praise, some worship, and we'll pray. We'll seek God together. How many of you will, until that meeting, until November the 20th, will agree with me in prayer and fasting of some form? It's whatever the Lord has spoken to you. You see all the diversities of it and all the things, but He's spoken something to you. He's leading you into it. You have the Spirit of God in you. How many of you are going to join with me? Would you raise your hand? Well, that's a big number. That's a lot of us. Okay, that's great. There'll be a lot of power. Boy, just think about it. Ooh, Holy Ghost is on me now. I got chills. You got the air conditioning off. Man, it was good. Ooh, yes. I'm excited about it. I'm filled up. I've been to a seminar. I've learned a lot of things about me. I'm going to be fasting about some of that stuff. I'm a bad person. You know? No, really, I'm not. I'm really a good person. I just understand myself better. Anyway, we'll be talking about that over the next couple of weeks. But anyway, so that's the deal. What I want to do in closing, and again, as we do this, you need to leave and slip out. But I would really ask you right now to come up maybe front with me. Let's join hands and let's pray together as we now enter in.